Welcome to the Unpacking Sunday podcast, where we take a deeper look at what God is speaking to you, to our church, and to the world around us. So grab a coffee, sit back, and let's unpack it together.
All right. We are commencing now.
All right.
Round three. All right. Welcome back. Good to have you here, Pastor Mike.
It's good to be here, Minister Josh.
You living your best life?
It's a good day.
Good day. It's a beautiful
day. I would say it is my best life. It's the only life I have. So by default, it's the best one.
That's true.
YOLO. It's true though. YOLO. YOLO forever.
Forever and ever. YOLO.
Yeah. It's true.
That should be a name of a sermon series. If you didn't know, YOLO. YOLO.
What? We are looking for a title for our summer series, the second part of our summer series. We got the first half of summer.
We do, okay.
Nailed down. And then if you want to, okay, we'll see if YOLO fits the theme. Mm-hmm. I doubt it does, but we can check.
What is, isn't that like the youth's motto? The youth's?
Yeah, I think like 10 years ago, yeah. It was a thing.
YOLO. Love others.
You maybe. Only live once.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that. Oh, okay. But they have an acronym that they're using now, too. And I think it's something similar. Maybe it's LOYO. Love others. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's love others, love God or something.
Yeah, we don't know.
Tyler, if you could help us, we need it.
And Luke doesn't know. Luke has teenagers now, though, so he'll get up on it soon.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
Luke, do you remember YOLO? Oh, yeah, Luke
remembers YOLO. He said yes.
That's good.
One day we should get Luke and Mike on here.
Just go all three.
Didn't we do a podcast once that had four people on it?
We did one when we brought in like the interns, I think, too, and did a podcast with everybody.
We should do that this summer again.
Yeah, that was awesome. Episode.
The annual intern episode. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. Right, Luke? You're the producer. He did a thumbs up.
We'll just grill them. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you guys with us today. On Unpacking Sunday.
We just watched Hairspray, all three of us, on the weekend.
You were there too, Luke?
Well, on Saturday. Oh, Luke was there on Saturday.
You can't stop
the beat. I just thought of it when I said Luke was the producer, and I was like, he's like Mr. Baltimore Krabs.
Oh, yeah. She kept doing this little thing with her fingers.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah, I did not like
it. Oh,
that.
It was a crown?
It was a crown.
Why was it moving? Her fingers kept moving. No,
I did not really like
it. I thought it was like crab legs on top of her head.
Oh, that's what I should have had for dinner.
Miss Baltimore crab legs.
Just crab legs, just regular ones. But
yeah. What were your thoughts on Hairspray before we get to
let's do this quick.
To the important
people
stuff.
People want to get to the real deal.
Yeah, they say.
I would say overall, not Broadway Across Canada's best show.
Yeah, I didn't love it either.
I would say there were zero highlights.
Oh, I don't know. The
cast.
I would say there were. Oh, okay. In terms of the cast, I liked Seaweed. He was good.
I would say the casting fell absolutely flat. They did look like themselves. Like they looked cool.
Like the characters.
Yeah. Like I love picking them out in the program before the show starts.
Right.
So that was fun. But the performance was a bit dull.
When your favorite part of the night is
the closing
that
number.
You were able to pick people who like which character they played, that should tell you all you need to know.
And the closing number was good. So if you're going to go see it, which you can't because it's over, but if you were to, I would just say go for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that's like a thing, right? You sneak in with all the smokers at intermission and then it's called second halving.
Oh.
Or maybe it's called act two-ing.
I've never heard of either of those.
You never heard of either of those? I think that's the thing.
Okay.
Anyways, if it comes back to town, make sure you act to it. Let's break down Sunday. It was another good day.
Break it down.
Break it down. Back into Romans. Romans 9, we kicked
Romans
off.
Romans chapter 9. No, we did not kick it off. We kicked off Romans 9
Right,
a few
and then we
weeks
took a break.
Ago.
Yeah.
Then Easter suddenly showed up.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then we went back to it.
True. Easter was on a weird week this year.
It was in March.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, now we're back in Romans 9. Give us a recap.
We got into the idea of grafting, that the promises of God are passed from, kind of.
Mm-hmm. We did say that word.
We did. Yeah. We mentioned it, that they're passed from, the covenant is passed through those faithful in God, rather than necessarily, the genetic people who are called the Israelites. We talked about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Yahweh is often called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We talked about how all of them were considered righteous for their faith rather than the fact that they happen to be the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. Where else did we go? We talked about that occasionally, timing-wise, God will pause you. He'll make you take a step back. He'll make you, like he'll close doors just as often as he'll open them. So obedience can even look like stopping sometimes. Those are the parts that stuck out to me. What about yourself? Did I miss anything?
One person said, I never thought I would hear someone talk about election in a Pentecostal church. One person did say that.
Mm-hmm.
One person did say, no, I won't say that comment. There were some comments made. Yeah, there were.
So what's your, let's clear it up maybe. What's your hard and fast stance on kind of election?
My stance on election is that God chooses. I think it's pretty clear in scripture, like that God chooses. We were just talking about this at lunch, me and Luke.
Hmm.
God chooses who God wants to have mercy on. We're going to get there next week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even my words. It literally will say that in the passage we're going to read next week. Right. Is that God decides who he'll have mercy on and who he will not have mercy on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard thing to accept,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to accept it at all.
Mm.
How does that sit with you, Josh?
God will choose who he has mercy on and who he doesn't.
Mm.
I'm not like full-blown predestination. I think you can hold it together in light of the fact that Jesus was sent to save the whole world while the whole world was still dead to sin. A lot of, you know, churches have disagreed on the idea of election. And I think where I kind of stand with it is I think you can hold the two ideas together. That yes, I mean, even for those who are saved, it's a work of God to begin regenerating our hearts and to open our eyes up to sin in the first place. I think both sides can agree on that. Personally, I also hold to, you know, the idea that Jesus was sent to save the whole world, right? It's open for everybody. It's dependent on our response to his invitation. Of course, we also read, you know, we see with Pharaoh, we see all over scripture, there's also this idea of God will harden your heart, that eventually if you choose to refuse his invitation time and time again, he'll give you what you want. He's not going to force it on you, and he will harden your heart in that so that you are, yeah, receiving exactly what you desire, which is separation from God. So I think you can hold those two ideas together, that yes, God shows mercy on who he desires to. But also the invitation is open.
Hmm.
That's where I sit with it.
Neat point, Josh.
No thoughts on that one? Okay, sounds good. I think that's where you sit with it too.
I think that's, so as I'm preparing, I think that there's like a clearer line that Romans would make for us about God just choosing who he wants. And I think the line that Paul says, or that he quotes, is that God shows mercy on who he chooses to show mercy on.
Mm.
And so that means that if we define the mercy of God as God not giving us what we do deserve, that's mercy. Yeah. We deserve wrath and we deserve judgment,
mm-hmm.
and God doesn't give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's absolutely God, his choice,
To withhold wrath
yeah. from who he wants.
Because
mm-hmm. the only thing we've ever earned for ourselves is the wrath and judgment of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfectly just for God to say, this person I'm going to withhold it from. Because you didn't earn it. Mercy is never... I think the thing that Paul is wrestling with is people are going to say, this is not fair.
Mm.
Right? That's not fair. Why would he choose this person and not this person? But really, it's the only fair option. If you think about, like, how is it more fair that you get to choose Jesus versus someone else who, okay, you grew up in a Christian home,
mm-hmm.
and so it's easier actually for you probably to choose Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right, versus someone who grows up in a Hindu country or a Muslim country who's not going to hear about Jesus. How is that more fair if the choice is only yours?
Mm.
So I think that the God who's perfectly just and who created us, like, that's the only fair way, is that the playing field is actually quite even for all of us. We all only deserve wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he chooses where to extend mercy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, it's we're all born into sin. Paul makes that like abundantly clear, as do the Gospels, that all fall short of the glory of God. I think the argument regarding, you know, whether some people have more of an opportunity on whether it's easier for them to choose Jesus or not, I think Paul kind of already handles that when he talks about how creation ought to get you thinking that there is a God. You know, he kind of starts the book of Romans off that way, that there really isn't an excuse for ignorance, right? And so...
But then he continues and he says, but even though there's no excuse, we are all pretending to be ignorant.
Oh, yeah, we choose ignorance, but there's no excuse for it.
So all of our natural way of being is to rebel against God.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think on if God only shows mercy then to whom he desires to show mercy? Hold that together with confession of faith. Does it just so happen that those who confess saving faith in Jesus Christ are the ones that God shows mercy to?
So are you talking about the scripture, like believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you will be saved?
Yeah.
I think that's the evidence of our faith, as well as that you would, how are you saved? Like if you can't say anything about it, like, I don't understand. So, but is it that you said something that now you're saved?
Mm.
No.
Because it's, that then it, it's that you believe it in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Jesus Christ is your Lord.
Because then again, it puts anything that's going to put the onus on you that you did anything other than receive the promise of God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Like, that verse is not saying that the verbal declaration, the outward verbal declaration, is a necessity. It's saying that, that a verbal declaration is not enough because the work needs to happen in your heart. I agree with, 100%. Is that what
but
you're
it should be happening. That's the thing. It's like, it's proof of what's happening in your heart that you would, that you make a confession of faith. Mm-hmm. But are you saved because you made a confession of faith? No.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
You're that saved be, only because you put your faith in Jesus.
That would be like saying that you're saved because you got baptized or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It just misses the mark. I just think anything that we say that alludes to us being responsible for our salvation is not biblically accurate.
Mm. So you believe in like total depravity?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Yeah.
I think I veer more on the partial depravity side of things, where the only thing that you can do to participate in your own salvation is to put your faith in Christ. And not in a verbal declaration way, not in a in any acts, but in your heart. For there to obviously be authentic and genuine change, which I can't tell if this person's done it, but God can. That might be the only area where I might slightly view it differently. But I'm excited to hear your sermon next week, knowing your stance on it. It's going to be fun. I think next week's Unpacking Sunday is going to be a wild one. Yeah. So what do you think? Do you come, as a pastor, do you come across this kind of confusion often, where there's almost like a little bit of, you mentioned like the Gentiles were mad that the Jews just weren't getting it, even though the Jews had the first opportunity. They got the good news, came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles had kind of counted the Jews out because they didn't accept the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you kind of see that take place today in our church 2,000 years later?
That people are counted out?
Yeah, like there's almost maybe a callousness towards the outside world. Like, hey, you've had so much opportunity. You've heard about this Jesus guy your whole life.
Oh, of course. Like, we even do that. I mean, I've had personal conversations where I catch myself saying things like that, you know? And we talked about that a few weeks ago, too. Well, I told my sibling about Jesus. They don't want to listen.
Mm.
So I'm kind of done with them. And then it's like, this is Paul, when he's also talking about this, he's talking about like, how can we be certain? How can we be sure of our salvation? And we can be sure of salvation because it has nothing to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's God who does all the work. That's how we can be sure. And it's the same for the Israelites. And it's the same for everybody today who receives Jesus. It's like, we can only be certain because it's God who does it. It's not us.
I have a question from the life groups that I'm sure people have had some, you know, differing opinions on. So I'd love to get some advice from you, Pastor Mike. It's, what practical steps can we take to deepen our trust in his promises and live lives characterized by faith? Of course, you just said that salvation is a work of God and God alone. There's nothing we can do to earn it or to receive it or to force ourselves in. But there are practical ways that we can go about living our lives in order to deepen our trust. And so what would your recommendation be there? How can we grow our trust on his promises?
Two things immediately come to mind. Number one, we have... This is easier said than done. But there comes a moment where you have to just take a step and do something. And then you'll see that God will come through on his word. So I think if you're, how can I trust God? It's like, just try what God said and you'll see that God is true to what he's saying. So often, like, because we're not sure or we're nervous or we're fearful, we just don't move forward on what we think God is saying. Mm-hmm. The second thing would be prayer. So, I mean, even when I was chatting with Luke about this whole topic before, he was just sharing with me that this whole idea about, you know, it's a work of God in people's lives, whether they receive the promise of God or not, has moved him into deeper prayer for people and understanding like how important that would be to pray. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we're trying to develop trust in God and in God's promise, it would be like move in obedience and also move in prayer, that you're, and not like asking God, but like listening prayer. So as we move in obedience, listening for God, hey, am I on the right track? Am I going the right way? What else can I be doing? And then as you see that God is true to what he tells you, you will grow in trust in God. Mm. I think like obedience is something that's learned, right? And I even think like with my kids, they have to see that, you know, your mom or dad isn't going to do what you say you're going to do, whether it's good or bad, mm-hmm. like including consequences as well. Mm-hmm. God's going to do what he says. So if he gave you a word or he's asking you to do something, do it prayerfully and you'll see that he's true to his word. And then you'll, next time it just becomes easier and easier and easier to be obedient to God.
This is maybe a bit of a deep dive, but do you remember the first time that you came across this? Like maybe even before you knew you were going into ministry, before whatever, but the first time that you felt stretched and you had to, in order to do what God asked you to do, in order to be obedient to God, you had to go beyond what you were comfortable doing. What was that first step like for you?
The first thing, I don't know if this would be the first time.
Yeah.
The earliest example that immediately comes to mind, and so I'm so thankful because I grew up in a house where my parents were open to talking about these kind of things and like praying together about big choices and watching for what God does. And so one of the biggest things was when I was in high school and I lived in Ontario and my family was considering moving to the west coast of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And so my parents actually shared with us this whole process of what they were going through and what they were thinking. And we committed to praying together as a family about my parents' jobs and where God would lead us. And I think that whenever I get asked a question about this stands out as like, where did you first learn to be obedient? Mm-hmm. Or where did you first see this kind of thing in your life? That always comes to mind. My parents showed me how to be obedient to God, even though it was uncomfortable. They literally had to pack up their whole family and move across the country because that's what they, through prayer and work and praying together as a family, they felt that's where God was leading us. And so that's where I learned about mm-hmm. obedience first. Mm-hmm. And I saw it was true and it was difficult. Like what high school student wants to move across the country? Most likely very few.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, but I knew that this was where God was leading our family. And so I still didn't like every moment of it, mm-hmm. but because my parents opened this discussion, I was able to see God's hand at work in it. And even once we moved, we would continue to pray together. Mm-hmm. My parents were quite honest with us about like, hey, this must suck for you.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that's probably where I first saw it. Mm-hmm. And then it was in quite like, that's a big choice moving across the country. So then I guess that's a blessing is like, I saw that God would come through in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so then there were other smaller things where if you feel led by God, I had this example that God is true to his word. Mm-hmm. Right. And that even though it will be difficult, God will keep me.
Yeah. And that kind of builds up over time. Like Even you mentioned that was such an early foundational moment for you where you learned to trust God and be obedient even when it was uncomfortable. But you have a lifetime of experiences like that to look back on and see the trustworthiness of God, right? Like, it's the reason that every time we meet together, we read the same Bible that we've been reading for 2,000 years. We share our testimony. We share the reason that we have hope. We share all these ways that God has come through, both in the lives of the people we read about. During this story, we're reading about Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. But we also look to our own lives and see how God has been faithful in our present circumstance. So another practical thing you can do, this is just coming to mind right now, but something my wife and I are doing is, our son has, if you haven't heard, he's got like a genetic disorder. And so there's been a lot of like worries throughout this whole time. But something we've just recently decided to do is, God has been answering so many prayers that we've had over so many different things with his life. He's 4 months old today. But so what we've decided to do is we literally will write down on a little sticky note every single prayer that we've prayed and seen God answer. And we're going to stack them up and then give it to him when he's 18 years old. And so what that does for him, it will show him how he's been covered by prayer and been held by God his whole life. What it'll do for us, it'll show us, wow, here's this physical representation of God's faithfulness in so many different ways. Because I know I'm a super forgetful guy. Like we as a species, we're pretty forgetful, right? It's the reason we're supposed to do communion every time we meet, is so that we remember. So what would work for you? You got to find your own ways to remind yourself of God's faithfulness too. That's how your obedience can grow and your trust in him can deepen.
And I think surrounding yourself with people who will remind you that God's good and where he's come through is, like, I say this all the time of Sam, is she's much more faithful in a terms of like being steadfast in her obedience to God.
Agreed.
Is like, I'm very good at, like,
sorry, just, not agree that Sam is more, sure. Just, I mean, like,
yeah, you understand.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But like, I'm very good at like hopping in if I think God has asked me to do something.
Yeah.
And then sometimes later, if it's not going well, like I'll start freaking out. Right. Like, did I hear God properly? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And she's very good at just like, God told you to do this.
Yeah.
Like, there's been many times in my life where she's just straight up told me, like, why are you praying about this? God already told you.
Yeah.
Like, just do what he said.
Yeah, thank God.
And so I would say surround yourself, like, even if you're not married, surround yourself with friends like that. We all have enough people in our life who are going to say God didn't really say what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to surround yourself with people who will remind you, like, where God has come through for you before. And that he's true to his word.
Yeah. Because at some point, we all are going to get overwhelmed, you know, exasperated by a situation.
Yeah.
And so in those moments, that's when you need, like, that's the purpose of the church, to hold you fast through those times, right? At the community aspect of the church, right? So yeah, that's a great point. I know many times in my walk with Christ, like, there's been, we always talk about how it's like seasonal, right? There's times where you kind of feel like you're on the mountaintop and times where you feel like you're down in the valley. And it's very easy to trust God, you know, when you've just seen him come through on these massive prayers, and you've seen, you know, maybe a sin habit's broken, maybe somebody in your family you've been praying through just accepted Jesus, like these beautiful moments. It's very easy to put your faith in God in those times. But there's also times where you feel very overwhelmed by the circumstance of the world. And so I know personally, I've had to have dear friends like pray over me and lift me up and remind me when I'm feeling overwhelmed and down and out and kind of desperate. So yeah, surround yourself with the faithful. Absolutely. Is there anything else that you'd like to tackle from this week before we wrap up?
Well, I think we're running out of time. We're like 23 minutes in. That's usually where we call it.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, but we're going to have a lot to cover next week.
We will. I hope you guys are ready. I'm going to start doing some reading on total depravity, unlimited atonement. It's going to be a theologically heavy debate.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see you guys then. God bless. We'll see you soon.
Unpacking Sunday is a podcast of Caribou Road Christian Fellowship Church. If you're interested in more information, please check out our website at www.crcfchurch.com.